everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 10, entitled New Best Friends. It's written by Channing Powell, who's worked on The Walking Dead, as well as White Collar, and directed by Jeffrey January, who's worked on Preacher, Revolution, and Teen Wolf. Gary, we have watched the episode twice now. What are your overall thoughts? Has it changed?
It has changed. After looking at the scenes twice, especially the fighting scene with Rick at the super zombie, It was great. I loved it. I wish Rick was able to do a little more because, you know, I'm over here shadow boxing while I'm watching, thinking like, just do this, Rick, do this. But overall, I mean, it was a good show.
I agree. I enjoyed the episode, even the second time around. I think the second time around, though, you start to notice a little bit more because I noticed when I got to the second page of dislikes, I was like, whoa, I didn't realize we had this many dislikes. But then you just start writing them down. And I tried to stay away from social media so their thoughts won't get in my head. But I have to be honest, some of it did when I was on Reddit. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that didn't make sense, you know, but I still enjoyed the episode for what it was. I did.
Okay.
All right, so we will get right into it. We're going to do our likes, our dislikes, and then we will have an award and prediction. First on likes is Diane, who is Yara, I believe, from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Is that her name on Game of Thrones? I'm pretty sure it is. But yeah, seeing her, that's Theon's sister.
That was a plus.
Yeah. I was like, oh, but I wish they would give her more, but we'll see. We'll see. But it was just nice seeing a Game of Thrones person.
That whole scene was nice. I liked her conversation when she looked back at the zombie and was saying, my sister had a dress like that.
Okay, see, that part, it's not that I disliked it. I didn't get it. Like, she mentioned it twice.
Well, obviously her sister died.
Yes, but was that her sister?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because after the zombie was dead, she said, yeah, my sister would have loved that dress.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think her sister probably died not too long ago.
Right, right.
And she's still in mourning, but she's still celebrating her life.
Right. Yeah, because she almost said it very dry. And it's to the point where, of course, she loves that sister. But it was no emotion to it. And that's because we're 3 or 4 years into the zombie apocalypse. And it's kind of like, you can't keep getting super emotional every time someone
dies.
You
could tell that was her main focus because all the excitement that happened, we saw a fight, a little sweep to the ground. And after everything was over with, she turned back around and said, my sister would love that dress.
Yeah. The almost gunfight was pretty cool. So when the guy tried to take, Jared, I believe, tried to take Richard's gun.
Disrespectful.
And they all pulled their guns out. I kind of liked it. I mean, I know a fight didn't, a little mini fight occurred, but I just thought that scene was cool. Because they even showed it in the trailers. And yeah. It had just been cool. Like, they could have, I don't know, if Ezekiel was doing what, I mean, no, because if they would have started, the next time when they're ready to start the war, that would be the perfect opportunity to start it right there. But they have to be ready because they know once those people don't return, the saviors will come back. But I would like to see this group eventually, I hate to say get what they deserve, but kind of in some way get what they deserve.
And he'll have a lot of responsibility. He has to keep people he have to look after in the community, which if he start, like you said, if he start to fight, he have to finish it.
Yeah, because they would now come to the community.
And they're not ready to finish it.
Right. And who knows, Ezekiel mentioned last week's episode how the saviors have not set foot in the kingdom. And with this fight happening and the guy, the leader saying like, you know, some steps may need to be taken. I thought he was going to kill one of them. And since he didn't, who knows if he's going to go back to the saviors town and they tell Negan what happened. And they're like, okay, they think we're playing. They kind of got soft on us. When they really haven't, you guys are keep being disrespectful. You know, you're already taking their shit. Stop being super disrespectful.
Right.
But in the Savior's mind, they might be like, okay, they think we're a little soft. We didn't kill anyone. Let's go back. Let's go to their town and show them who's boss.
Make an example.
So next week, I didn't see trailers for next week. I don't think. Can't recall. But I think it's possible that the Saviors are going to go to the kingdom very, very soon.
That'll be something.
And since Daryl left, it's perfect timing because Daryl went to the hilltop. So we'll see. The second time around, and I kind of, it's a small like, but Benjamin, I didn't notice. Did you notice he's the one that hit Morgan with his stick? So when Morgan hit Jared to prevent Jared from punching Richard, and then Benjamin came in to prevent Jared from hitting Morgan.
Right.
When he hit his stick to knock Jared on the ground, the other side of his stick hit Morgan. That's how Morgan had that head.
In the ear?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't notice the first time. I was like, damn, everything happened so fast. But this time around, and I even rewinded it this time, and I saw, oh. And then even when they got back to the kingdom, that's why Jared offered to take him to get help. You know, go to the nurse's office or whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought I liked that. Because it made it not so clean. Like, you know, it's like, okay. And it's, you know, he was a casualty of Benjamin's, you know, bravery or whatever.
Yeah. Of Benjamin's training.
Yes. And then when the guy told Morgan to read the goddamn room, Sensei, when Morgan asked for his stick back.
Yeah.
I like that. Because we kind of talked about that on the Instant Gas. Like, dude, why'd you ask for that stick back? Read the room.
Why?
Why'd you ask for it? They just was about to kill you or kill Richard for talking crap, but they're going to just give you your stick back?
It has sentimental value. It means so much to me.
Someone who's gone now.
My mama gave me that stick.
Actually, Jared was about to whoop Morgan's ass just for even asking. He felt disrespectful.
That was disrespectful.
Like, are you kidding me, dude? Now, I will say, watching the second time, when Jared got up, he had the stick in his hand. And I just thought, like, you got up with the stick in your hand. Like, you didn't. It seems like you would get up first and then pick the stick up.
Well, he had a stick in his hand when it happened.
So, like, he fell with the stick in his hand. He never lost.
He told Morgan to give him the stick. Morgan gave it to him, and he was about to hit Morgan with the stick.
Yeah, but then when Benjamin knocked him down, you're telling me the stick never fell off his hand? What is it in football they call it?
He was hoping the stick would keep him up.
No, but what is it in football when they have control? He had control of the stick. He never
stick
lost.
Control.
Yeah, he had never lost control, and that's what's important here.
But I'm pretty sure he would have threw that stick off in the woods or something.
Yeah.
Threw it down the street.
Threw it at Morgan. Because what was he going to do? Take the stick back in the car? He would have never took the stick back in the car.
He would have never did that. And the stick wouldn't have fit. Had to put it in the trunk.
Knowing them, the stick is on the side of the road a few feet up burning. Like they did the mattresses.
Yep.
All right. So we'll talk a little bit more about this next scene. It kind of comes in two parts. It comes on the likes, but it also comes in the dislikes. But Richard practicing his bow and arrow, I kind of like how resilient he is. He's like, okay, they took my gun. They don't want me to have a gun no more. I'll train with this bow and arrow. Like, he's keeping it moving. He's like, I'm going to be a very good assassin. Like, you know, he's training. Yeah. I like that.
And it's cool how he just accepted it.
Yeah, like, okay, can't have a gun no more.
No more gun for me. I just use a bow and arrow.
Yep.
Take the bow and arrow, he might find him a stick like Morgan.
He might find a katana like Michonne.
He's not going to find one of those. Well, you know, it's not written in his script. It's not a part of his uniform.
We'll have to see. Because that part of what you can find in the zombie apocalypse, that comes up on my dislikes.
Actually, that was a like for me.
What?
Them taking Michonne's katana.
Yes. No. That was fine. I'm fine with them taking her katana.
That was a like because everything they went through, no one ever
takes it.
At the beginning, it was stolen. I think the governor took it.
Yeah, I think so.
But after that, it don't matter who they ran into, no one seen it.
Except for the Terminus people. I think they took it, but that's one of the ones she got back. Because didn't Carol get it back for her? It's going too far back to season 4 or season 5, but I think the Terminus people took it. Because remember, they were in that
right.
box.
But it seems like the bigger the threat, the more invisible it gets.
Yes, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. All right, Daryl fighting for Carol. Like, literally fighting almost to his death for Carol, him and Richard.
To his death.
Well, I mean, it could have went any way. Either way, you know. I enjoyed that scene, though.
That was a good scene. It shows he still have love for Carol.
Now, did you buy Richard fighting so hard? Like, damn, Richard, you mean he's fighting you. He's obviously fighting you because it's someone he cares about. Why are you doing all of this? Like, you're about to make another enemy that's not necessary.
Richard knows there has to be a casualty. Someone that has to die that's close to Ezekiel in order for him to act.
Which is what he said, I'm willing to die. And I think Daryl said, do it then, or something.
Right.
You know, go for it.
But he's one of the only warriors there, so he has to survive.
Richard is kind of on that Rosita level, whereas he may be the one.
No.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
Yeah. He is. Because I'm telling you, what's going to happen, Benjamin, I already know, is going to be a casualty of this war. He's going to be a casualty of the pre-war, which brings us to the war.
He's too nice.
Yes.
But we're learning to like him.
Learning to like him and everything like that. And I think what's going to happen is going to be something that Richard does. Richard, whether he does it on purpose or he does it on accident, Benjamin's going to be, is going to be that casualty that brings this war, you know, head on.
Maybe.
Next, we have the walker that Rick fought. I like that walker. Thought it was pretty cool.
I liked it on the second watch. The first watch, I was like, yeah, man, boring. I mean, it was just too easy. The second watch, I'm like, okay. I can see where, like, you know, he had to be, his aim had to be on.
Right.
Otherwise, he was going to get stabbed. Like, he got stabbed through the hand.
Mm-hmm. And his leg, it was cut. His, like, pants yeah. were cut and everything.
Ripped through his jeans.
So maybe he'll change clothes next week. He'll maybe.
Michonne will sew it up for him.
Now, a lot has happened to Rick
Tan. Is there room for me to say?
What, Michonne will sew it up?
Michonne will sew it up?
No.
It might be.
I mean, it's kind of like, sexist assuming that yeah, she like, knows how to sew.
Right, right. So I'm going to change that.
No, but, I mean, we're not going to sweat it.
He can sew his own pants up.
Yeah, I mean, not really, because his hand is hurt. But I'm trying to think. Remember, his hand got hurt, like, last season, almost by a walker as well. Something weird happened.
He got cut.
Yeah.
Put a deep cut in his
hand.
But
I guess it was probably a different hand. I don't know. I mean, the other hand.
And it was due to a walker.
Yeah.
The walker had a knife stabbed through it already.
Yeah, because remember, we were questioning, is he going to get infected?
Right. Is he going to lose his arm or lose his hand?
The walker was cool. I will say, though, it was kind of buff, like, looking at it the second time. Remember when we talked about those walkers that were swole, like...
The bones were just swole?
Yeah. A few seasons ago. This walker was on swole. I don't know if this walker was, like, a boxer or a wrestler in a previous life or something.
It had to be a fresh walker.
Yes, because it wasn't... And then the teeth were, like, super yellow. I don't know.
Well, it is a zombie apocalypse. So even if it's a fresh walker...
It can't be that fresh because it was all bones. So you would think it would be a deteriorating walker, but they've been feeding it. So maybe somehow it doesn't deteriorate as fast. I mean, they haven't been feeding it, but they've been...
It could have been all bones.
If there was no skin on that walker.
I would have to watch that scene again. Because how was that walker swole?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying because you did see his skull, so maybe he's eating and...
Does it matter?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the rule is. Like, if the walker eats, does that keep him stronger for a while? You know, does that make the deterioration slow down?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm tired of seeing swole walkers.
Yeah, that has to be the last one, though. All right, Rick and Jadis negotiating how they split the Savior's product when they don't even know if they'll win or not. Like, I kind of liked it when he was like, one third, one half. Like,
yeah,
y'all talking about something you haven't even got. Like, let's just win this war first. And
well, that's good.
You know. Yeah, but we saw
that. They're speaking into existence.
Existence, yeah. But we saw how confident they were when they went to that one outpost and they thought they got everybody.
But they won.
Yeah. Yeah, that one time. But either way, I kind of like them going back and forth over it. Because I'm like, if only the Saviors... could hear this conversation of you guys like splitting, you know, it's like stealing from someone and you're talking about what you're gonna split when you rob them or whatever.
The thing is, we don't know if the Saviors are warriors. We never saw them train. I mean, they're surviving off of fear, intimidation.
No, that's true.
They have the numbers, but you saw how fast Fat Joey this day.
Mm-hmm.
Fat Joey died. In fact, Fat Joey was there. He was like, no, just leave.
Right. Well, Jadis's group is kind of like that, too, but they do seem a little more organized because they all did have, like, weapons of some sort. So I'm guessing they're not afraid to fight, but that's what they have going for them as well, is numbers.
True.
All right, another little kind of funny scene is when I wrote down Yara, but Diane, the lady from Game of Thrones, when they went to see Carol, and the guy was like, because you're a lady or something. She's like, don't call her lady. He's like, ma'am, missus. And she's like, stop talking. I thought that was just like a small, funny, you know, comic relief there.
Yeah.
And even Carol kind of seemed amused. And I think Carol, she's opening up to them as like family or support or somebody that she sees. But I have some parts as far as dislikes as well.
Of course.
And then last is Daryl Morgan's conversation when Daryl got back and he's trying to convince Morgan, hey, you got to fight or whatever. And Daryl says, whatever you're holding on to, it's already gone.
When is Morgan going to step up? When?
Well, the thing is,
he let another man take his stick and he's still not going to fight.
The thing is, fighting to death, to say to kill someone.
I mean, this is a zombie apocalypse.
No, but it's still a serious thing.
You know what would happen if I was younger and I came home and told my mom somebody took my stick?
What?
She'd make me go out there and fight him and get my stick. Don't come home without it.
Whatever. Go get another stick.
Somebody should have told Morgan, you better get your stick back.
Don't come home without it.
Don't come home till you have that stick.
Yeah, but see, with you being a kid and you have going to get your stick back, the likelihood of you getting killed brutally, it was slim. The likelihood of Morgan getting killed over his stick is very, very high. So is it worth it? Choosing your battles. This is exactly what choosing your battles mean. And Morgan, if he doesn't want to fight, I mean, I see a lot of people talking about him. You can't make someone want to kill people, whether it's to protect them or not. Maybe to him, it's not worth it. So I've never really had a problem with Morgan not wanting to kill. That's his choice. You can't make him kill. And there's other things that could be helpful. He can knock people down. And then if you want to finish it, you can finish it. But if he doesn't want to kill, he shouldn't be made to feel bad for not wanting to kill. Or made to feel bad for not advocating for going to war, going to kill someone. Now, I'm not saying I always agree with him, but
see, I'm at a loss of words right now. I don't know what to say about that, because you're right. If he don't want to kill, why make him kill? But then again, he's just a waste of space.
He's not a waste of space. That's the meanest thing ever.
He is. If you're not with us, you're against us.
That's not true.
That is true.
Even in a war, there's other people besides fighters. There's generals. You know, there's nurses.
There's a movie. I don't know the name of it, but when the guy said, I can't use a gun, but he went to war anyway, he said, I'll just help save people. I don't know the name of the movie.
I think I know what you're talking about. Is it in the theater right now? Or
yes, it is. If Morgan don't want to kill anybody, at least go on a battlefield and help save lives.
Yeah. What movie was that? That sounds vaguely familiar.
You have a computer right in front of you.
No, but how am I going to Google that? Are you? Wait, no. I was going to say, was it from Captain America? Because it might not
be. It was a guy.
From Captain America?
Yeah.
Chris Evans?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
No, it wasn't a guy from Captain America. It was one of the Spider-Mans.
Oh, the original Spider-Man?
You know what? I don't know who it was. Okay. You know, I'm seeing a whole bunch of people.
Characters. What you're saying, it sounds so familiar, but you think it was a movie theater and maybe you're watching it at home. But it sounds familiar.
I do not watch movies at home.
No, I'm just saying, a regular movie.
I pay for all my movies.
You're crazy. But either way, what I'm saying is there's other things you can do to help support a war.
Right.
You know, he could be out there. He could just be putting people down. So, anywho. And then in the end, we know Morgan's not going to sit back and watch his friends get killed. He's just not advocating for it.
Okay.
But either way, when Daryl said that to him, that, you know, you need to stop holding on, it's already gone. And that's when he says, hey, I know you didn't tell Carol because you knew she would come out here. We're all holding on to something. And Morgan, I like him. He's level-headed.
I like Morgan, too. But I'm ready for him to step up.
All right, here we are with the dislikes. So as I mentioned, Richard training for the bow and arrow, that was cool and all. But I had to rewind the scene because I got confused when Daryl Allston had a crossbow. And that's when I looked and I saw that Richard handed him one or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know anything about crossbows, but it just seemed too weird that a crossbow, like out of all the things, all the weapons they just have that they've ever been able to scavenge, a crossbow is one of them and no one else is using it. And now a crossbow's back. I mean, I know we were supposed to be like, oh, wow, Daryl has a crossbow back in his hand, but it was just too coincidental.
Not really. If he knows that's Daryl's weapon of choice, maybe he had that scene set up. Maybe like, okay, I'm going to take him up here. I'm going to show him I have a gift for him. And maybe he'd go to war with me. They probably had a crossbow just laying around. And he said, you know what? Instead of it laying around, I'm going to give this to my boy Daryl.
Your boy Daryl, who just like, was that be? Oh, no, that was before the fight. Okay.
That was before.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay, that's a possibility. Richard's elbow pads. A very small dislike, but when him and Daryl were fighting, I was like, why he got elbow pads on? Like, I understand the other armor, but it seems like elbow pads would make you not be able to move. I mean, that's probably why he got his ass whipped. Because, you know, you're not as agile or whatever when you have elbow pads on. You're not a little kid. Yeah. Not riding your bike somewhere, dude. Like, why did you have that? It was, I mean, he's probably always had those elbow pads, but in this week's episode, it really stuck out.
Well, you know, he rides a horse.
Yes, but if you fall off the horse, what is elbow pads going to do? Scrape your elbow. If you fall off a horse, something, you're probably more than likely running from someone, and there's going to be other parts of your body that's going to get hurt before the elbows.
I mean, he's probably trying to protect his funny bone.
All right. I just saw that. I was like, okay. All right. So the junkyard people, I didn't dislike them as much as I see other people did, but they were weird.
They were super weird.
Their voice was weird. And also mainly is that it doesn't really make sense to live there. I mean, we know the zombie apocalypse, it stinks already, but why would you live in a junkyard?
Actually, that's the only thing I liked about that scene.
Really?
Was they lived there.
Expand.
I mean, you saw there's no way you could find them. No way. Because remember, they came out of a door in the middle of junk. If anyone is around there scavenging, looking around for stuff, you won't think there's a door in there anywhere. They're covered. They're completely protected. And they're going to always have a drop on you.
But wouldn't always it have stink a drop on you. Like you're just in constant funk?
I'm pretty sure the world stinks by now.
Yeah.
I mean, you just walk around all day smelling funk. Feces.
And actually, the next two are kind of about them dead as well. People. Like, they were a rough-looking group. It was just a little too weird that they casted. I mean, I'm not trying to talk about people or anything like that, but, like, literally, they were, like, the misfits of the world. And it's like, how did you guys all come together? It's just weird. Like, it's all of a sudden, if we see a next episode and there's a group of supermodels, it's like, okay, how did all those supermodels get with each other? Whereas this week, everyone in that episode looks super weird. And just not trying to be mean without saying this, but like they just weren't the most attractive people.
Well, I'm pretty sure if you hang around people long enough, you're going to start looking like them. And with saying that, maybe they don't have the luxuries that Rick have. They don't have the running water, the toilets and everything. They don't have the water where they can wash their clothes every day. They're wearing what they wear. They stay in a junkyard.
Yeah, but if they me, just was a part of the group, them.
We'll look like that.
I hope not. I hope not.
I mean, you're not just going to be the fresh person in the junkyard.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm the freshest person in this clique.
But I just noticed it really on that second episode. Every single person, I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, how did they call for this casting call?
I mean, you act like somebody in there is supposed to have some clean white shoes on or something.
No, not even about their clothes. Like, just their faces, their hair, their posture, the way they carry themselves. Even when they're just standing there, it's just like they're just standing there in zombie land and just literally, I don't know.
Well, people that hang around each other, or people that's around each other a lot, start acting like each other. They start developing similar traits, which is maybe they don't have conversations. Maybe they don't have books. So maybe it's just a quiet place. And if you're in a quiet place, I'm not saying you forget how to speak, but maybe you don't talk as much. So something's going to slip your mind. The things that you're doing, the things that you do every day now, you're not going to be doing every day once the zombie apocalypse starts. Well, depending on which group you're with. Like, I'm pretty sure that the people with the saviors, all of them look alike. But I'm pretty sure some of them didn't grow up fighting every day. A lot of them, like Fat Joey, they're not badasses.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
They're trying to be like the group they're with, or the group they're with turn them into who they are.
Yeah, they're a product at this point of their environment.
Right.
I will allow.
Because now you see everybody at Alexandria. Everybody's clean. clothes look nice.
Except for Daryl.
You know, everybody, you know, there's always the dirty person in a group.
Yeah.
But everybody, this is like a good community. That's not how Rick and them looked before they got there.
Okay. You're right. And they all do wear flannels a lot. So it's part of, they just kind of going with the flow there.
Right.
All right. And then another thing, it was kind of the junkyard people and the Alexandria group. Like, so after, I believe it was after they took Gabriel away, they just randomly started like fighting the Alexandria people. It was just a weird fight. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think when they first tried to negotiate and then they start taking, they start taking Gabriel away. And then like a fight, just a weird 3-second fight broke out.
That was a weird to me. The weird part was, you know, one of our people, one person was handling like 5 people.
Yeah, and it was like too many of them. Place.
It's like, have you ever seen a movie where it's like 10 people and instead of jumping this one person, they go try to fight a 1-on-1? Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, okay, you go first. All right, he whooped your ass. Now you go.
Yeah, yes.
Now you go.
In any superhero or kung fu movie.
Right. I would be that person in the clique that say, yo,
let's all get him at
like
the same 20
time. Of us. It's 20 of us and 4 of them. Let's just go. Let's get him.
Right.
But hey, maybe I've never been in a real fight. Maybe that's how it works.
Yeah, just one person at a time. All right, this is a dislike. You might not think of it as one, but it was just, it kind of just, I don't know. I like to think that I like humble people. And the Alexandria group, Rick's group, they weren't really humble this episode. You would think after everything that Negan has put them through, they would be a little bit more humble. But especially Pastor Gabriel, you know, he's like, we'll show you what we can do. Like, you know, Rick later on is like, see what we can do. Like, dude, y'all stop acting like y'all some big badasses. I mean, you are, but like, I just didn't like how they were just talking themselves up. Like,
they had to.
The best in the world.
They wanted to live. So they had to act like they were giving the people something of value. Like, they were valuable.
Yeah. All right.
See, y'all just killed your walker with these pillows. I could do this for you all the time.
Right. All right, so Jadis or whatever, and once again, with some weird speeching going on here, nothing too, I mean, it was sort of bad, but it was not the worst. But on the second time when she said, show Rick up. Like, are you a little kid? Did you notice that? When they took Rick away, show Rick up. Like, you're
but that's going back to what I was saying. That you could tell that they don't communicate a lot.
Come on. You know what I mean?
You could tell they don't. You could tell when they all came out, they all looked like they were just sleepy.
Okay, like, so even if you stopped talking for 2 years, are you telling me you would not know the English language anymore? Like, you would just forget everything that you've learned now throughout life?
No, but I'm saying that if you don't use it, you lose it.
I understand that. You might lose certain words.
There's people right now, they can't do simple math.
No, I understand that.
And they're probably like a straight A math student growing up.
No, there's no way. There's no way you went from, okay, I understand if you were like just some smart person that knew all the algebra and calculus and whatever, and then you didn't use it for 5 good years, and then all of a sudden, but you would still remember that 2 + 2 = 4.
Right, you remember the basics.
You remember the basics.
You're not going to remember too much over the basics. Like,
depending
forgot,
on how long you
first.
Used it. You know, it. I mean, yes, you might not remember every single thing you learn, but up, you can't even say, like, take Rick to the top of the field. Or, you know, like, I don't even know.
Saying that that's how they communicate. And that's what I'm saying. If you got a part of a group that communicated like that, pretty soon you'll be communicating like that.
All right.
You would start calling it up.
I don't want to go up. I want to go down. I want to go sleep. All right. I know I've been hammering on Rosita. I swear I'm going to try to calm down with my Rosita hate. I'm going to get an I hate Rosita shirt. No, I'm just joking. But Rosita, once again, she got a smart mouth. Like, I mentioned it on the Instant Cast with Tara. But she even talked shit to Gabriel, who was like a victim in all of this. She's like, what are these? Your new best friends, I guess? And I'm like, bitch, are you? This dude was just like kidnapped. Like, can he breathe for 5 minutes? It was just weird.
It was.
You know? But actually, now that I just brought that part up, it still doesn't explain how Gabriel was kidnapped. Like, you were on the top of your post, dude. Why did you leave your post?
But like I said, he thought he saw something. You could tell when he looked to the side, he had a puzzled look on his face. Like, what was that? So maybe when he went to go check it out, that's when they took him.
Okay. And then Rick does say, what were you going to do with Gabriel? So, and then that they kind of went past that. She's like, bring me the guns.
I hope they're not cannibal.
I don't know, because they already did that.
Man, this is a zombie apocalypse. We eating everything.
Well,
I mean, not we.
Yeah.
I don't want nobody writing in like, Gary, no. But there's people out there that's going to eat anything. And, you know, Gabriel was already stripped down, washed up good. They cleaned him like a piece of chicken. And then he had to do this, was just cook him.
Yeah, but actually, them taking Gabriel goes against what she said their motto is. Because she says, we don't do all that heavy lifting, the work, you know, which is why we didn't get the food. Because we didn't want to feel like doing all that extra work. We just take kind of what's easy for us. So why did you take Gabriel again?
Maybe he was food.
That was extra work. It seems like you would have got the food and kicked him out of the car a long time ago.
Maybe he was food. I mean, I don't have to say this. They were about to cook Gabriel.
Oh, no.
Gabriel was stripped butt naked.
Well, maybe Gabriel will tell us some more as far as what was going on while he was
there. Probably don't know. Like, Rick, they just cleaned me extra good.
They scrubbed me down.
That was weird. They start sprinkling a little salt on me.
That one meme. Sprinkle a little salt on him. All right, so the junkyard background, it showed it twice with Rick smiling. Like, he must have wrote his contract. I want to smile more in season 7. Because, like, he was smiling throughout this episode. But when it showed him in the background, like, the junkyard, when he was on the up-up, it showed him the background.
Yeah.
And it looked very, very fake. And I don't know if they did that on purpose because they thought, who cares or what? But I noticed a lot of people, like someone even on Reddit made a meme and they put like other animation and they put like a dinosaur. Like, that's how fake it looked. Anything could have been back there.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Like I said, the junkyard was my favorite scene. Well, the looks of the junkyard.
Okay. Next is Jade is saying that they waited for someone to come get the supplies at the boat. That just didn't make any sense. There was like 50 of you guys. It seems harder to go and follow Rick and Aaron back, capture Gabriel and steal the food rather than him gotten the food and you would have had to do all that. Why would you put yourself in danger?
Like, a lot of people died trying to get that food.
Yes, but still, two people got it. Rick and Aaron got it. They had like 50 people. They could have brought more people and been like, okay, you know, we're going to run and get it. You be hitting the walkers. It wasn't like it was the hardest challenge ever of Rick and Aaron's life. It could have been done. And even Rick questioned it, but it still just didn't really make sense as far as why they waited.
What didn't make sense to me is, who food was that? Who put the boat out there?
Well, I don't know, because remember he said, did you guys do all that? She's like, no, that was Winslow. Well, then who the hell's Winslow? You said it as if we're supposed to know Winslow.
And why didn't Winslow bring you the food back?
Yes. And then what happened? Now your cannibalism thing is kind of coming to light. Like, who's Winslow? Did you guys eat him? Or was he one of the walkers in the water? And then why did he do that if that was his own food? Like, I don't know. I'm sorry, that didn't make sense. I need more clarification on that part.
Maybe Winslow was the walker with the little knife stuck through him and a helmet on.
Oh, but then, okay, once again, that begs the question. They don't do a lot, but you had time to, like, hide this walker, you know, or put those things on them or whatever it is that you did.
Selective laziness. Yeah. lazy at certain times about certain things.
Right. All right, so next on the dislikes is the kingdom people kissing Carol's ass. I don't like it. She's not grateful. She doesn't say thank you or anything. She doesn't even fake as if she's grateful. I don't see why Ezekiel does that, because he has people who are loyal to him, such as Jerry and Benjamin and Richard and Diane. And here's Carol acting like she's too good to talk to them, but here they are bringing her peach cobbler for a whole thing of peach cobbler for one person. When are the people in the kingdom eating peach cobbler? And if so, Carol's not doing anything to help with the community.
Well, I can't be certain, but I think on that episode where the king brought her an apple, mm-hmm. I think he got a nookie.
It was a pomegranate, but
yeah,
you think he's hit it?
I think he hit it.
I don't know.
There's nothing else that can explain this. He hit it and now...
He sprung
in his head. That's his girl.
Okay. I don't know about all that. I don't know.
But that's why he's running around out in the danger zones. Just right. Trying to give her apple pie or peach cobbler, whatever you get. Fresh fruit.
Yeah, he said they were clearing the wasted, meaning I guess they're getting rid of any walkers nearby. So he's like even keeping her air fresh for her.
Yeah, he got the nookie.
All right. That would explain a little bit more. But even still, come on, you're a king. And then she mocks him in front of his people. Like, by your majesty. He's like, bitch, you can't even pretend. Why are my people right here?
You know what? I think that's just playful.
Yeah, no. I mean, that part was playful, but still.
They know what's going on.
All right. And then last on the dislikes is, how did Gabriel see Rick smile? Remember, he's like, yeah, I saw you smile. How? Like, where were you then?
I thought the same thing. But then I remember The Walking Dead. You know, they don't care.
They don't care to explain things.
They're not going to explain it to you.
He's like, I saw you smile in the editing process after it came out.
And the thing is, The Walking Dead don't have to care. We're going to love it regardless.
Not so much. I've mentioned it before.
It could have just started snowing at that moment.
I'm surprised it hasn't. But I have mentioned before that I wouldn't mind if next season, or even if they say there's only 2 more seasons left. I need to see an end result because it does seem like they're getting a little lazy. And then actually, if you think back just to the series as a whole, it's nothing new. It's almost like this has been them. You know, sometimes you like to think, oh, the show's changed or they just stopped caring. No, if you go back, this has always been them. This is like, you know, they've always been this way. They just have a couple good episodes here and there, and that's what you like to have in your head.
I don't think anything's wrong with the episodes. I don't think it's getting worse. I think they're on a track that they've been on. They're doing what we fell in love with. Period.
I don't know if they are. I mean, well, yeah, I just said they're doing what they've always been doing, so that's possible.
I mean, if they change up too much, then people are going to complain about that. Like, oh, now everybody knights. They're walking around with knights armors just battling in the streets. That's going to be weird.
All I'm thinking, because I've been watching Homeland recently, and I just think now, like, someone asked me, like, recommend a good show to me, The Walking Dead would not be immediately on my list. Homeland would be, or Game of Thrones, but The Walking Dead, not immediately. I mean, eventually, I'm like, oh, have you watched The Walking Dead? But not immediately.
Not me. I recommend to everybody.
All right.
Everybody. And when someone says they never watched it, I'm in awe. Like, what? Like, you have some catching up to do.
No, I used to think that, too. Because I remember when Carol had to kill Izzy, people used to say, if someone tells me they don't watch The Walking Dead, and there was that meme and it says, look at the flowers. And that means, why aren't you watching Walking Dead? So, yeah. All right, award and predictions. And if you guys would like to be a part of the podcast before we get to award and predictions, hit us up, dead@theverdictsin.com. Or on Twitter @TheVerdictsIn or Facebook.com/TheVerdictsIn, and we'll discuss your feedback on the podcast. Gary, I ain't fearing shit.
To me, it has to go to Gabriel. Gabriel have to get the I ain't fearing shit award. They were about to cook his ass.
You don't know that.
Gabriel was butt naked with salt on him. We saw him. We thought he had braces on, but those were chopped up onions.
Yeah.
So they were about to cook his ass. And he was smiling the whole time like, you found me. I have hope. Gabriel not fearing shit.
All right. I'm going to give it to Rick. He fought that, you know, strong wrestler, weird, pokey zombie. He didn't do a good job, but he won.
I'm going to have to debate your I ain't fearing shit.
Okay.
I know this is the first time ever, and this is your opinion. But it's not like that he volunteered to fight it.
Yeah, well, when they said go up, he, you know, him and Michonne held hands and he said it's all good. So he knew he was going to do something.
He
knew something was about to happen.
He thought they were going to bless him with that land. Like, you know what? This is your empire now.
Right, no.
So he was forced. If they would never push him down there, he would have never fought that.
it doesn't really matter if he was forced into it. I mean, technically, Gabriel...
And he was fearing shit to me. He had a scared look on his face the whole time.
Yeah, so did Gabriel when he had that knife against that lady's neck.
Gabriel was a soldier. You're not cooking me today.
All right, most likely to die?
Most likely to die, and with a heavy heart, I'm going to have to say Daryl. Daryl left his protection, and this is going to be the biggest shock of Walking Dead because everyone loves Daryl. But I don't think he's going to make it to Hilltop.
Okay. That would be a good one. I mean, that is a good one. The only thing is, it's only episode 10. They go to 16 episodes. And The Walking Dead, they would only probably kill him in, like, episode 15 or 16. So, we're going to have to see Daryl, for a few more episodes.
I don't think so.
But that would be out of Walking Dead's characteristic or personality if they killed him, like, randomly, you know, in a random episode. Kind of like they do on Game of Thrones. You can die almost any episode. It could be episode season 4, episode 2. Spoiler alert, won't say who died, but... You know, something like that. But I'm going to have to, of course, stick with my guns. And my money is on Benjamin, most likely to die.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Very, very soon. I'm saying next week. It's going to kick this war into start. All right, you guys. Well, that is it. We would love to hear your predictions. Who do you think is not fearing shit or most likely to die? Or whatever opinions you have. You agree with us, disagree, hit us up. dead@theverdictsend.com. And make sure you leave us a review and rating on iTunes if you have not yet. There's about 50 Walking Dead podcasts, and we could really use your support. Until Sunday night when we do our instant cast, I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Bye.
Bye.